Yeah, today we're going to be talking a little bit about teamwork and the influence of friends. And if you guys have seen the movie, that's what the movie is really all about. It's about teamwork and the main character, Emmett, and how he relates to the team and what the team thinks about him and how he performs as an individual in that environment. Really good movie, and I think we'll blend some of that in. That was good, wasn't it? Hey guys, and I'll go ahead and apologize ahead of time. We have a real rookie back here in the sound booth and running slides. He's not real good at it, so just kind of watch. Yeah, and then something mysterious will appear up here about me too. I better be quiet. But guys, I want to go ahead and welcome you again. Thanks for being here this morning. Let's just have a word of prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your Son and his sacrifice for us, Lord. And most of all, we thank you for this opportunity together to get together and learn more about your word, God. I just pray that the things I say this morning will be led by the Holy Spirit, and Lord, it will be something we can all apply and use in our lives. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning again, we're going to be talking about the influence of friends. One of the things that we want to do is I always like to start off in framing this in a Bible story. You know, I think that's something we should always do. So let's just go ahead and jump right in with our first verse this morning. This is from the book of Acts. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, communion as we call it, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's from Acts chapter 2. Now, I think for those of you that grew up in church, that's a very familiar passage of Scripture. This is one of the earliest descriptions we have of what it looks like for the church to work together as a team. We aren't intended to go this as individuals. We need to be part of a community, but being part of community means we have to be devoted to it. And I like this definition of devotion, a feeling of strong love or loyalty. Notice back here in our scripture, it says all the believers devoted themselves. That means they did this with love and loyalty. This wasn't something it was a take it or leave it. It doesn't matter if I do it or not. They were devoted to these several things. These four things the believers needed to be devoted together doing were learning, it says they were devoted to teaching, fellowship, sharing, and praying. And what I want to do this morning is take each of those four areas and let's talk a little bit about that and what it means to a faith community today, what it means to us as Journey Church, how that looks, how it practically works in our environment, because obviously we're not in New Testament times anymore. So some things change, some things stay the same. And we need to learn how this looks and what this looks like for us. So let's just jump right in with devoted to learning. How many of you guys came today hoping to at least learn something? Well, good. At least a few of you want to learn something. The rest of you, I don't know why you're here unless it was for the food this morning. But we want to come and we want to learn. We want to be together. We want to learn something. But here's something I want you to know. It's important who you learn from and who you learn with. It's important who you learn from and who you learn with. Are there people out there you think that wouldn't be very good teachers that you shouldn't follow? What if Charles Manson gets paroled and he's going to hold a church service this week? Hey, let's go and listen to Charles speak. Oh, Charlie, he's a good guy, I think. He's a little misunderstood, but let's go listen to what he has to say about Jesus. Think that'd be a very good idea? I don't. And that's the reason we have to pray about who we learn from and pray about the community we're a part of. Look in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30. A horrible and shocking thing has happened in this land. The prophets give false prophecies, and the priests rule with an iron hand. Worse yet, my people like it that way, but what will you do when the end comes? See, obviously this has been a problem for quite some time. Even in the New Testament, there were false prophets, even in the Old Testament, where Jeremiah is talking about. There were times that the person speaking to the people was giving them bad advice, was giving them things that were wrong, giving them things that weren't godly. And we have to be aware of that. It's horrible when they do that. You know, one of the things living in the community we live in here in the South, how many of you guys grew up in the South? Most of you. Honestly, church has a bad reputation in the South, unfortunately. The church has a bad reputation in the South because we had some pastors that ruled iron-fistedly. We had some pastors that majored on some very minor points at times, and it gave church a bad name, in all honesty. We became known as what? Being judgmental. Now, there's nothing wrong with pointing out sin in a Christian's life. I think that's one of the things the Bible commands us to do. But there are right ways and wrong ways to do that. And when you do it, and it sounds as if you're being judgmental, it doesn't accomplish anything. As a matter of fact, it usually does just the opposite of what you intend. So if you're going to be in a community of believers, whoever you're following here, whoever that person is that's on stage, and we have multiple people that can, I was going to say we have multiple personalities on stage, but that didn't sound right. today I'm personality number two. No, but we have several people that teach, and we like the variety we get from that. We like to give you guys something different each week. But each one of us follows the same path. And I hope you go back after we're through preaching, any of us on a Sunday, and you go back and look in God's Word, and you look at Scripture, and you make sure we're telling you the right thing. That's part of being part of this community, is we hold you accountable, you hold us accountable. You know, if we get up here and say something that's not true according to Scripture, you need to call our hand on it. You know, and there's nobody here that would do that intentionally, but hey, even we could make mistakes sometimes. Now, one of the next verses is from Psalms. It says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind." My iPad's acting up. If you wonder why I'm doing it, let me read this from up here. It's going to be easier. Worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the paths of the wicked lead to destruction. So this verse is telling us there are two types of people that may be presenting the word to you. There are people that are wicked, and there are people that are godly. I would suggest that you would want to follow those that are doing it as godly pastors, as godly people that want you to learn the right things. It says, "Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." That talks a little bit about the community you're in, or stand around with sinners, or join the mockers. Now, again, growing up where we've grown up here in the South, don't get this wrong, that means you have to cut all ties with everybody in the world, and you live in a little holy huddle in the church house, and you don't ever talk to anybody that doesn't go to church with you. That is not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about not being influenced by those people, not being influenced by those that are wicked or sinning or follow the advice of the wicked and the advice of the world and the people that would mock God's word. Don't let those people be the ones that are having input into your life. You should be having input into their life as a Christian, but you should never cut off from them completely because they would have no one to teach them. But it talks about the delight of those that delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. It means reading Scripture, listening to teaching, things that you're learning and you're growing. I like this. It says they're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. It means you're growing in what you know. If you're in the right place and listening to the right things, you're growing. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. There's a very sure dichotomy here of the two classes, the wicked and those that are blessed by God because of what they say and do. And just remember that. Remember, you want to have good influences in your life. You want to be hearing people that teach the word, teach good things. And finally, from 1 Kings chapter 6 says, "And may you be completely faithful to the Lord our God. May you always obey His decrees and commands, just as you are doing today." It means we need to obey these things that we know. The four things we're talking about today, we're talking about learning and fellowship and sharing and prayer. We need to be involved in each of those areas as Christians. Those need to be four areas of our lives that we're involved in. And if you're not doing those things, you're not being completely faithful to God because He clearly commands us to be involved in that sort of thing. Now, what else are we supposed to be devoted to? We've talked about being devoted to learning. We need to be lifelong learners. We need to be somewhere where we're hearing God's word and being taught. But we also need to be devoted to fellowship. Fellowship, that's a very Baptist word to me, too. A very churchy word, isn't it? Fellowship. Does anybody really talk about fellowship outside the church circles? Fellowship of the Ring. Oh, there's a good one. Thank you for the nerd reference there. We've always got a nerd in the crowd that knows the Fellowship of the Ring, the quest. That really is a good example because that was talking about true fellowship because in trying to obtain the ring, they made sacrifices for each other, did they not? They were all together for a common purpose. That's a really good example, thank you, that these people were striving to obtain something. And why is that? It's because going it alone is not an option. Going it alone is not an option. In our society, we've become very much self-starters. We can do anything. We're raised. That's the American way. You can do anything you put your mind to. You can accomplish it. If you just believe hard enough, you can do it. You don't need other people. Yes, you do. If you're going to live a life as a Christian, you need other Christians around you. That is the way it works. That's the way God has structured His church, is so that we support each other. We need to be there for each other. Says, listen to what it says in Hebrews. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Listen to that. We need to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That means we need to be encouraging each other to do the right thing, and to sacrifice and do things for others. And don't let us neglect meeting together as some people do. Another portion of that scripture that I've heard horribly misused is, you've got to be there every time the church door is open, or you're neglecting the assembling together. Well, who made the rules of when that is? Do you see in scripture that it says, well, Sunday you've got to be there, Sunday morning. You've got to be there Sunday night. Monday, you've got to go to our church-wide visitation. Wednesday night, you've got to be here for Wednesday night fellowship and meal. And then Friday, we'll find something else for you to do. And if you don't do any of those, you're neglecting the fellowship. You're neglecting the meeting together. No, that's not what this verse is about. This verse is about you willfully turning your back on the church and saying you can go it alone. It's about saying, I don't need other people in my life. It's not what this verse is talking about. We can make up rules and we can have you here every day. Man, that, you guys should be really nice to me and Mark, because we can control your schedule with that. See, we can say, hey, you've got to be here tomorrow. You're going to be out of God's will. And then next week, there'll be about two people here. And that wouldn't include our wives, because they wouldn't do it either. So, you know, look at these things that we're supposed to be doing together. We're supposed to be motivating each other to do acts of love and good works and not neglect being together to do that, but to encourage each other, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. You know, we're supposed to be here to encourage each other. How many of you guys would really like to have some encouragement in your life sometime? Somebody that could just sit there beside you and say, hey, it's going to be okay. It's, you know, I've been through this. Let me tell you what happens. You know, let me put your mind at ease about this. Let me encourage you. So let us encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Let us encourage each other, build each other up. You know, tell each other it's going to be okay. Let me tell you what happened to me in this situation. It's funny, and I think of this as just an example. And I did the exact same thing. Dale's wife, Kristen, my next-door neighbor, Kristen, called me the other day. By the way, Dale, I think she was still on drugs, by the way, when she called me. I'm not sure. I go, hello, this guy. She's on drugs because she was having a root canal done. And she was coming, hello, this guy. Like, why is Kristen calling me during the middle of the workday? She said, hey, I've got to have a tooth removed. Who was your oral surgeon? I'm like, well, it's Dr. Shank over here. She said, oh, that's not who I'm getting. And I'm like, oh, well, wait, now who are you getting? She said, well, it's some guy over on Shelford Road. I said, oh, well, he did a follow-up visit with me. I went over and saw him. Great guy, great staff over there. She's like, well, I'm glad to see hear that. She said, how bad was it? I said, it wasn't that bad. It was okay. I dreaded it too. But, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. They give you this little happy pill, and, you know, you're all like, ooh. Karen says it was still entertaining watching me try and watch to work the red box machine after having this done. I was going, But, you know, I've been through it. So I've been through it, something that I could encourage someone else and say, hey, don't dread this so much. Don't let it get to you. It's not that bad. It's not nearly as bad as you think it is. I've been there. I've been through it. You know, I did the same thing. I was trying to find people that had it done. You know, we were getting ready to go on vacation. I've talked to one of my buddies at work that works for me, Simon. I'm like, man, I got to go do this. He said, oh, dude, I had that done. I went back to work that day. It's not that bad. Well, I wasn't going to go back to work. I didn't care what happened. But he said, yeah, man, it wasn't that bad. They just pulled it there, and, you know, I recovered pretty quick. But is it not comforting to hear that from somebody that's already gone through it and encourage you? Is that not what we're really looking for, is comfort and encouragement, so that we know that somebody that's been through that has been through this same situation and can tell us, this is what it's like? You know, those of you that are parents, it's great now to ask your parents or someone else that's raised children, what did you do when my kids grew up from being cute little kids to teenagers? You look at all the teenagers laughing. They're going, yeah, we know we put mom and dad through it. This is great. Hey, you know, what did you do? You know, how did you get through this? You know, even new mothers with a baby, you know, all the responsibility, all the weight of the world on their shoulders, trying to figure out what you're going to do with this baby, how you raise it. They go and ask someone else that's had a child, maybe their mother, maybe someone else, maybe a friend that's recently had a child. How do you do this? How do you deal with diapers? How do you deal with bottles? Will I ever have a life after this? Or am I doomed to this existence of just caring for this little being that runs my entire life? You know, is there ever hope for me? But some of you that don't have children are going, I ain't going to have no kids. That don't sound like no fun. Hey, but we need that encouragement. We need to be thinking of each other. We need to be helping each other out. Look at Philippians chapter 2. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That is very anti-society today. That is not what we're all made of. We're all about being us and looking out for us and looking out for us and being number one. And it's all about what I can obtain, what I can do. But it says, no, don't be selfish. And don't try to impress others. I think that's in this verse for this reason. Even when we're helping others sometimes, we try and do it to impress other people. Look what I'm doing for someone else. Look, I did so-and-so for the poor. Or look, I did such-and-such for this person. That's the reason it talks about being humble. You can't be humble and be a self-promoter. You can't be humble and go out and say, well, hey, look what I did for them. Look what I did for this cause. Look what I did. You know, one of the things this morning that David mentioned is we have a great ministry here. We help out Room in the Inn. We've got a sign-up sheet back there. Nobody's going, ooh, did you look? I brought mashed potatoes for the people at Room in the Inn. I'm so great. I'm wonderful. Look what I did. We're helping them out. Or you don't hear Mark and I going to other churches in town. Look, our church, Journey Church, provides a meal for the poor in town. Don't do that. We do it because it's the right thing to do. It's helping a group of people that need help. And we're going to talk about that here in our next section. It's helping people that don't have an alternative and need someone to help them. But we don't do it to get recognition. We do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, in talking all this about fellowship and friendship and that sort of thing, from the Lego movie, Emmett, one of Emmett's problems was he was on the team, but he really kind of wasn't part of the team. Do you remember that? Did anybody know Emmett's name? I've seen that guy around. I don't know who he is. Emmett was there, and he was just kind of going through the motions of doing something. Emmett had no real relationships with anyone other than his plant. Remember, he had his plant that he had a relationship that he talked to each morning. But Emmett didn't have a relationship with anybody else at work or anywhere else that we know of. And that's what it's like here as a faith community. If the only interaction you have with us is to come here and sit and hear teaching on Sunday morning, you're only probably getting one of these 4 points that God has commanded us. You're not getting fellowship. If you come here and you just come in and out and say hello, good morning, whatever, and leave and have no contact with anybody, guys, that's not God's picture of fellowship. God's picture of fellowship is like a family where we're all together. We We're working together for a common cause, and we care about each other. We love each other. We check on each other. If someone's struggling, it hurts our hearts because they're struggling, and we try and help them to get through those things. That's what fellowship is about. I'll challenge you that if you're sitting here this morning and you don't have someone else in this congregation's phone number in your phone, those of you that have smartphones, I realize some of you don't have smartphones, but those of you that have smartphones, if you don't have some contact information for somebody here, I'm going to challenge you that you may not really be fellowshipping. If you don't know anybody else here, if you're not interacting with them other than saying hello on Sunday morning, guys, that's not what God's intention is, because He realizes life is hard for us. He wants us to fellowship together. He wants us to help each other. You know, getting in a small group is one way to do that. I realize Sunday mornings, we don't have time to really fellowship together. We don't have time. We try and do periodic events. It's kind of a starter mechanism for you guys to get to know each other and start fellowshipping. But guys, it's up to you during the week to find people, find others who have maybe common interests, however you want to do it, and become part of each other's lives. That's where small groups are important. We have several small groups that meet. I lead the one that meets on Friday night that we call a recovery group. And yes, a lot of the folks in there have history of substance abuse, or some may be currently struggling with it. But that's not what the group's about. The group is about us taking care of each other and loving each other and helping each other through daily life. It's not like we sit around and talk about drug and alcohol abuse all night every Friday night. No, we talk about what's going on in our lives, what's driving us crazy, the things that we can't seem to handle, the things that we don't know how to get a handle on, and we can't figure out how even God to help us. We don't know what to do. And we lean on each other. We lean on each other during the week. We text each other. We talk to each other. We message each other. We are part of each other's lives. Hey, you would love, if you have problems disciplining your children, just bring them on Friday nights. It's a free-for-all in disciplining children, because we have no problem telling each other's kids what's going on. You know, kids are funny. How many think kids say crazy things? Parents. Absolutely. Kids do crazy things. You know, and it's important for us to educate them, and it's okay to educate other people's children in a healthy way. Now, don't step in and think you're the mom and dad and you know better, but if you see something, you point it out to children. You know, one of the things I like to do is to point out to them consequences of actions. You know, if you do this, this will happen. One of the consequences of actions is, here's one thing I would recommend. I recommend this for adults too, because we have a casual atmosphere here. You know how it works. How many of you would ever make fun of the preacher before he got up to preach on Sunday? We've got one. Leslie's brave. We've got a couple back here. Now, we have one young man here who was talking and said, well, you may put me to sleep. But then he said, well, I may not go to sleep because the chairs are too hard and I've got a sensitive rear end. Would you like for me to designate the man with the sensitive rear end? No, I'm not going to do that to you. Because we're just having fun, because I love other people's kids too, and I love being a part of their family. And it's just like, we're all one family. We all share in this. But that's your lesson for today. Either young or old, don't make fun of the preacher before he gets up, because he might get you back or he might have mercy. Now, I love the interaction we have here. I've talked to so many people this morning that I consider my friends. You know, we're finding out about each other, what we're doing for vacation, what's going on. That's becoming a part of a faith community. And you can't do that on your own. You can't go it alone. You will not survive. You will not be a thriving Christian. You have got to be part of a community. And if this is where you want to put your stakes down, and this is where you want to for your learning to take place, it's only part of it. You need to get involved with the people here. You need to get involved with each other and fellowship together. You need to have more than just one of these assets in your life. You need more than just learning. You need learning. You need fellowship. You need sharing, and you need prayer. Each of these things work together to be a complete Christian. Let's move on to sharing. One of the things I was talking about was room in the inn. We have a bad tendency in this nation as Christians to rely on someone else to take care of problems for us. We can't ignore the plight of the poor, hoping that the government or someone else will take care of them. Well, they've got welfare. Let them get welfare. Let them get this. There's a homeless shelter. Let them take care of them. You know, I pay tax dollars. My tax dollars go, but it's the government's fault because they spent my money helping some people overseas, and they should have been helping people here. So I've already paid my money in. I'm not going to help anybody. Do you think that's the attitude Jesus would have us to have? I don't think so. I know it's not. Because here's what he says in Proverbs 28. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? So if you simply ignore the plight and say, well, those people got themselves into that situation. Those people, you know, I'm already helping them through paying tax dollars. The government's helping them. I'm not going to help out. That is closing your eyes to poverty. And God says he will curse us for that. Because we're Christians and we should know better because he teaches us better. And you know what? We're not off the hook either just because it's in another country. If we're aware of the poverty somewhere else, we need to do something about that too. And as a church, we've done that. We're working with a mission in Haiti to help there. We've worked in India. We're trying to do things outside of not only just helping room in the inn in our community, but going where there are other needs. Guys, there is no shortage of needs in the world today as far as poverty is concerned. We don't see it because we're so blessed to live here in the United States. Anybody been following soccer this week? You know what a big soccer fan I am if you've read my post with the guy sitting looking at the wall and saying this is more exciting than watching soccer. But, hey, where they're having the World Cup, they went and dispersed all kinds of impoverished people in order to have a sporting event. Man, poor people that didn't have anything to start with, they just pushed them aside like they were nothing because they were in the way. Listen again in Isaiah what it says. What sorrow awaits the unjust judges and those who issue unfair laws. They deprive the poor of justice and deny the rights of the needy among my people. They prey on widows and take advantage of orphans. What will you do when I punish you, when I send disaster upon you from a distant land? To whom will you turn for help? Where will your treasures be safe? You will stumble along as prisoners or lie among the dead. But even then, the Lord's anger will not be satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. We're going to be cursed if we don't help poor, if we take advantage of. Disaster awaits us from the very fist of God Almighty. That's pretty scary stuff. And I think we sometimes take the plight of others too lightly. But again, we should be sharing together in this. I don't have the money to make a huge impact anywhere in the world. Most of us here don't. But if we combine those efforts and go through an organization or somehow work together as God's people, we can make an impact on people and let them know that God loves them, God cares for them, despite their poverty. And we need to do that, folks. We need to be sharing together in that sort of thing. We need to not neglect the needs of the poor. You know, because we don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Psalm says, give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. If we see those things happening, if we see atrocities happening, it is our job as Christians to try and right those wrongs. You know, that's one of the things we talk about, the United States no longer being the world's police or whatever. Hey, I don't care whether the United States does it or not. As Christians, if we know of things going on and there is any way we can have a positive impact on keeping evil things from happening to oppressed people, we need to be about finding a way to do it and make it happen. It's not up to our government. It's up to us. And finally, it says, give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. Very simple way we had to do that. There's a sign-up sheet back there for room in the inn. Maybe that's a way for you to start helping the poor is to bring some mashed potatoes or a mixed fruit salad or some rolls or whatever it may be. Because these are women and children who are being oppressed, who don't have what we have, and they need help. And this is one way we've done it. Kathleen's been doing it for years as an individual. But we were blessed that she brought it to us as a church so now we can share in the burden. Again, fellowshipping, sharing in these things to make a difference in somebody else's life. It's important for us as believers to be devoted to sharing, to giving. And finally, we need to be devoted to prayer. We need to share our burdens with each other and pray for each other. And I don't mean it in the tacky, I want to gossip about you, I need to know how to pray for you way. I hate that, don't you? Well, I wouldn't say anything, but I'm going to say it as a prayer request. Like, that makes it okay to gossip if I say it as a prayer request. God tells us He knows the innermost thoughts we have. Do you think it's necessary for me to communicate somebody else's dirty laundry with you in order to pray about it? I don't think so. But there is something very special about someone who will honestly pray for you. Somebody who will honestly do something for you. Somebody who really does care for you. And I don't mean just going on Facebook and hitting like and saying, I'll pray for you. I mean carrying it out and doing it. I mean really petitioning God on someone else's behalf and asking, will you bless them? It says in James chapter 5, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Confessing our sins and praying for each other. Confessing your sins also doesn't mean airing your dirty laundry. It means if you have something you're struggling with, sharing it with somebody that you're close enough to, that you know they're not going to be there judging you over what you've done, but they will give you a firm hand if need be and say, and that's an activity you don't need to be involved in. But they're a good enough friend that they can also say, hey, let's look at this. Let's pray about this. And here's what Scripture says about it. Here's a way that maybe I can help you. And then we pray for each other so we can heal. You know, one of the things is we as a people tend to not pray till we're in trouble. Would y'all agree with that? When there's a crisis, I suddenly decide I need to pray for something. Oh, this has happened. Please pray for me. Or, you know, so-and-so is going on. Man, we need each other's prayers every stinking day just to get through the day. We need to be involved together as a people knowing that somebody's got your back. Somebody's praying for you. How many of you have ever felt maybe at your job or whatever that nobody's got your back and you're just alone and you struggle with what's going on at work, with the people around you, with things that are going on, or maybe in your own family. Maybe you're alienated from your family and you have nobody to support you. That's an awful feeling to know that you're alone and that nobody's really praying for you or with you. Man, we need to be rallying together and praying for each other as community. When we know something's going on or one of our own members is hurting, we need to be praying for that. But also, we need to be praying against some of these things happening. We need to be praying for unity in our community. We need to be praying that we continue to fellowship together. We need to be praying that God brings others into our midst that we can help and that we can encourage, because that's what it's all about. Don't wait till there's a crisis for prayer to enter into your life. You should be talking to God daily, just like I'm talking to you guys. You should be asking God, you know, can you help me with this? God, give me direction. And you should be sharing those needs with somebody else you're close to and saying, hey, please pray with me about this. I've got such and such situation. Would you be praying? And don't wait for it to get to a crisis situation. Now, here's a hard one. We need to pray for people we don't even like. That's not fair. I'm just going to tell you. That's one of those things that God tells us to do, and that just doesn't seem fair. Why should we have to pray for people that we don't even like? That we would just as soon, you know, how many of you ever have prayed that something bad would happen to somebody? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I hope they, but we do that because we're selfish people. We don't want the best for our enemies, but that's not what God says. In Matthew chapter 5, He says, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the just and unjust alike. There are things that happen in this world, and we often say, we wonder why bad things happen to good people, or why good things happen to bad people. God says, I bring my rain to the just and unjust alike. You know, yesterday, you know, how many of y'all got rain at your house yesterday? Okay, the just people got rain, the unjust people didn't. See how that works? God punished you, but no, it rained. God did not go, that was His example. He said, that's how silly this is to think that I pick and choose sides. No, it rained on the just and unjust alike. It was just an event of the way I make the world work. Doesn't mean that some people were blessed and some were cursed in that respect. No, it's not what He's talking about. But He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He doesn't say pray for bad things to happen to them. He says pray for them. You know, that's a hard thing to do, to pray for somebody that doesn't like you, that you don't like, or maybe someone that has even done you wrong. You know, that's one of the hardest things for us to do, is to pray for somebody that we don't even get along with. We don't have anything in common with. We really don't like them very much. But that's just part of being in this team atmosphere. It's praying and being together. Now, here's the good side of prayer, the part that I like to hear about. It says, pray even when you aren't exactly sure how. Y'all ever not know what to pray in a situation? You know, maybe there's two answers somebody is looking for, and neither one of them's really a bad thing, and they just don't, they don't know which path to take. You know, some things aren't cut and dried in life, and we don't know, you know, to pray that this specific thing, you know, we just leave it up to God and say, God, it's in your hands. Your will be done in my life. You show me the direction to go, because both paths may have been okay, and we just want God's guidance there. And this is what it says in Romans. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. The Holy Spirit. Somebody we don't talk about a lot. We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about God. We don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. But yet this is who is interceding for us. And look. Someone who is pleading for us believers in harmony with God's own will. He is pleading that our lives and God's will come together and we function as one. That takes a lot of pressure off of us in knowing what to pray, doesn't it? We don't have to know exactly what to pray because the Holy Spirit is doing that for us. He's taking and He's molding our prayers and going to the Father and trying to make our prayers and God's will combine into a single path. Where we're blessed and where we're doing God's will. It's a fantastic thing. You know, but so much of this, realize, I'm going to go back to a verse I skipped intentionally a minute ago, is what happens if I stumble? This is back from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Yeah, we even make fun of that nowadays, don't we? What's the famous saying about falling? I've fallen and I can't get up. You got your little medic alert thing. I've fallen and I can't get up because you're alone. No one's there to help you. You need help when you fall, when you stumble. You need someone else. Two people are better than one. They can help each other succeed. They can reach out if one falls. They can pick the other up. That's the reason that fellowship and friendship within the church is so important. It's so you're not going it alone. Not just, you know, you don't go it alone just because God says that's the most effective way to witness to Him is to be in fellowship with others, but we physically can't make it. We will fall and not get back up if we don't have friends in our lives to help us with that. We will fall and be out of God's will. We'll be out of church. We'll be out of fellowship. We'll be so far away from God because no one was there to reach out a hand and say, hey, let me help you up. Let me help you in this situation. And I see that every day. And we live in a world, in a society that's full of sin in all directions. And honestly, bad things happen. There's disease, there's death, there's divorce. There's so many things that go and they cripple us emotionally. Because if we don't have someone to reach a hand out to us in those times of crisis, man, we don't have anything. And guys, you know, waiting until, you know, you have a tragedy in your life and something happens, and then, you know, people coming by the funeral home and giving their condolences, dude, that's too late. You need people in your life that are going to be there with you. You need people that are going to help you through times of crisis. You know, we just need those close relationships between us. One of the great points of that Lego movie is as you go through the movie and Emmett begins to develop, and yes, Emmett becomes kind of a man of his own or whatever, but he works with a team, doesn't he? There are other people involved with him as he goes about, just like in the Fellowship of the Ring movies and the books. There's a team of people that are working together to accomplish something, and they share in good times and bad. You know, there were good times in the movie, there were bad times in both movies. But here's Emmett. He's learning to work with his team to accomplish something. You know, they are learning to work together and actually realizing each other's value. That's one of the other things I would encourage you guys this morning is to reach out to somebody here in this faith community and tell them how much you appreciate what they do. Tell them how much you appreciate them working with your children or working with the poor and needy like Kathleen does or whatever ministry. Don and Kim are here today. Don and Kim do a lot of things with Impact. Reach out to someone and tell them how much you appreciate what they do and encourage them to keep going and encourage them that, hey, this is what God would have us all to do. We need to be together. We need to be friends and we need to be a team. And guys, I can't make that happen. There is nothing I can say from up here other than to encourage you to do it that will make us a family and make us a team like sharing together and being part of each other's lives. You know, and I'm not saying that you have to go out to eat every week, you have to do this and that. You just have to have genuine concern for each other. And now whatever that looks like, everybody's personalities are different in how we do that and how we share. You know, how we do those things. But you need to have input from others and be giving input to others' lives here at Journey. That's what I'd encourage you today as we leave. Guys, we're going to come back up as we get ready to close out. What I would encourage you with today is we need to be about doing that. We need to find ways that, and we try our best here to give you opportunities where you can learn to fellowship together. You can learn to be friends. That's the reason we have activities and things. We had ladies' night out last night. Hey, if that's not your thing, though, that's okay. We have multiple things because we know people are all different. And we just want you guys to really experience the benefits of being in a faith community, in a family where we all care about each other. And guys, where we look forward to being together. And that's one of the big things for me on Sundays is I look forward to coming here and seeing people that I may not have seen for a week. Now, some people I may see more, I may talk to more during the week, but hey, I really enjoy coming here on Sundays and seeing my friends and being part of their lives and getting to talk to them, knowing what's going on, catching up with them. Guys, that's what I want for all of you here is when you come here, that this is a place where you feel at home and where you feel a part of something bigger than you. Guys, let's just pray for that as we finish up. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these four things from the book of Acts that you've told us about doing, Lord, that we need to be learners, God. We need to be learning in your word, and those of us here need to be devoted to teaching your word. Lord, we need to be in fellowship. We need to have friends. We need to treat each other as family. We need to be together in this, Lord. We need to be sharing and giving, Lord, to those that are less fortunate than us and working as a team to accomplish more than we could as individuals. And finally, God, this morning, we need to be in prayer for each other. When times of crisis are there, Lord, or even just needing times of encouragement, Lord, that's what this is all about, is for us to be together and encourage each other and love each other and show how much we care, Lord. And I just pray this morning that maybe those that feel they're a little outside of this circle or whatever, God, that we'll find ways to reach out to them, Lord, and that each person here will find someone that they connect with, Lord, that they can be part of each other's lives and care for each other, just as you've given us this picture in the New Testament, God. Now, I just pray as for our musicians as we close out here, God, and thank you for them and what they devote to the total of Journey and the dedication they give and how they bring us into your presence each week, God, and thank you for them and their friendship, God. And I just pray that you'll bless us all, God, and teach us all this week. Show us ways that we can be part of each other's lives, God. And I just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.